You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter with the 86th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are 3-4, getting ready to play the Washington Redskins, who are 5-2 and on a 3-game winning streak. The Falcons are coming off their bye week and their return to practice on Monday. Today we're going to bring in a special guest from the Washington Post, Kareem Copeland. Kareem will tell us what's going on with the Redskins, how they got to be 5-2, surprise team of the NFC so far. And we're going to title this episode of the Bowtie Chronicles, The Blueprint to Beat the Redskins. Let's go ahead and bring in Kareem for our preview here today of the Washington Redskins.
We have a visitor to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, Kareem Copeland of the Washington Post. How are you doing, Kareem?
Good, good, good. I'm excited to make my debut.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for stopping by. Hey, tell folks a little bit about yourself and your career and how you ended up at the Washington Post covering the Redskins.
Well, it's been a long process. I've moved probably on average once every 2 years since pretty much 2003. Spent about 9 years with a couple different spots in Gannett between Wisconsin and Mississippi, and went back up and covered the Packers for 2 years when they won the Super Bowl, and the next year when Rodgers won his first MVP. I think they went one loss that year. Went down to Indianapolis, covered the Colts and Pacers for a while, and then caught on with AP, where I put in 5 years over there. So I was spent a couple years down in Tallahassee. It was actually those Jameis Winston years when they won the title that first year, and I think they had one loss also their second year. Then went out to Salt Lake City and put in some time covering the Utah Jazz and some Pac-12 football, and covered the Olympics down in Rio and everything out there, and now trying to settle here in Washington, D.C. to cover the Redskins. Glad to be back covering the league.
All right. Well, you know, I was in Green Bay for that Brett Favre Super Bowl team. I covered the Packers for most of the 90s with Bob McGinn and Tom Silverstein. So we have we have that in common. You know what
those,
cold
those are the fellas up there. Those are my guys.
You know what real cold is like.
Oh, I know. I definitely know. A week goes by without getting over 0 degrees. I am familiar with that. Okay. I didn't like it, but I was familiar with it.
Hey, well, let's move on to these 5-2 Redskins, kind of the surprise team, one of the surprise teams in the NFC. What's been working for them other than the old man Peterson running 400 yards almost every week?
It's all about defense, defense, defense. You know, they've spent the last several years slowly drafting guys, a lot of Alabama guys over the last couple of years, and it seems like it's finally kind of falling into place. You know, it all starts up front. They're the number two run defense in the league after being the worst run defense in the league last year. It all starts with Deron Payne, who was the number 13 pick out of Alabama. He's joining his old Alabama teammate, Jonathan Allen, who they took in the first round in 2017. So those two guys plus Matt Ioannidis have just kind of given offensive linemen fits. You know, they're eating up double teams and filling gaps and not letting teams do what they want to do, and that's allowing those linebackers behind them to run free. You talk about Mason Foster and Speedy Zach Brown Ryan Anderson over on the right side. Preston Smith. Ryan Anderson is also another Alabama guy. And then those guys are just closing down, just scrambling and shutting down the run. And that's how they've been winning games, basically, is shutting down teams offensively and just kind of grinding it out with Adrian Peterson. Pass game is still trying to find its way underneath Alex Smith. You know, kind of been what, you know, a lot of people expected, where, you know, he doesn't take a lot of gambles, you know, he's smart with the ball, he doesn't turn it over, but at the same time, you know, people kind of would like to see them take probably a little bit more chances, you know, try to get the ball to your big playmakers and Jordan Reed and Chris Thompson. Well, Chris Thompson has been banged up the last couple weeks. He's got some ribs issues, but between Jordan Reed and Josh Doctson, people would like to see those two guys a little bit more involved. Josh Doctson was a first-round pick from a couple years ago. Jordan Reed is probably their most unique offensive weapon besides, you know, Peterson, who's a Hall of Famer, but, you know, he is still 33. But he's still, I mean, shoot, he saw him bust out on that 64-yarder last week. We were talking about Adrian earlier in the game. He still had that speed from back in the day, and a lot of people were saying no, but shoot, he didn't get caught on that 64-yarder. So that's what this Redskins team has been all about, stopping the run and running the ball, and everything has kind of worked off of that. Oh, I meant to mention Ryan Kerrigan, the multi-pro bowler. You know, he's still kind of doing his thing, and so it's worked really well with those front four guys, with that front seven, and then they've been picking it up on the back end, the defensive backfield. DJ Swearinger has been playing like one of the best safeties in the league. He just had two picks last week. Josh Norman, he had a little bit of issues early in the season, but seems to have bounced back pretty well. You know, he kind of had a spat with Jay Gruden in that New Orleans debacle where they just got lit up, but he's played well since. They've been banged up there. Quentin Dunbar, who moved into a starting role this year, who's played really well, but he's got a nerve issue in his leg that seems to be stemming from his hamstring. So he missed the last 2 weeks, and they played rookie Greg Stroman, who's kind of got toasted a little bit, but at the same time, he's kind of answered the bell. You know, that's what you want to see from a young corner is, even if you give up a couple big touchdowns, you know, you don't go into your shell and let it ruin your day. So he's bounced back pretty well, but that's been the name of the game for the Washington Redskins: defense and running the ball.
Hey, how are the special teams units and, you know, who are the return guys to keep an eye out for?
Return guys, keep an eye out on Greg Stroman. We just kind of mentioned him a little bit. At cornerback, you know, that's been his biggest role throughout the season, has kind of been in the return game. And so he's started to get on the field more defensively recently. But that was his primary role. You know, he was one of the best return men in college last year, so that was a big part of them drafting him in the seventh round, and so he's kind of held down that role. Tress Way has been great as a punter. One of the better ones in the league last week. He kind of got banged up a little bit when he got roughed, and they thought Dustin Hopkins, the kicker, was going to have to come in, but Tress went back out there and boom, won. So he's definitely been a weapon for an offense that has struggled to put points on the board. They've done a pretty good job of pinning guys and keeping people out of real good field position, and that goes a long way with Tress Way. Dustin Hopkins is typically reliable. He kind of banked one off last week. He's pretty good most of the time, but, you know, like most kickers, not perfect. But those are the guys that I would look out in the return game.
And has Swearinger calmed down a little bit? I know when he was with the Texans, the Falcons scrimmage, the Texans, he was running around talking stuff the whole time, man. I was like, man, shut up and go play some ball. But has he calmed down a little bit?
Oh, no, not even a little bit. I asked him yesterday, I asked him on Sunday, because I was down on the field before the game, and it was that portion where everybody's down in their stretches, and DJ is just pacing up and down the rows. He's not stretching, he's just pacing and punching in the air, and I could hear, you could tell that he's yelling something, and I couldn't tell what, and I asked him after the game. He said, man, I was telling everybody, no friends, we have no friends out here, you know, and so he was all hyped up, and he was even more worked up the fact that Pro Football Focus, they put out their position grades, and last week he was number one in the league, the number one safety in the league, but they used a picture of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and he was not happy about that, because typically when they put up that tweet, they have a picture of the guy, whoever is the leader, but for whatever reason last week, they didn't use Swearinger, and he was, you know, called him out as far as being disrespectful, and said he wanted them to watch that game, and then he went out and balled out, quite frankly, against the Giants. I guess Odell was kind of saying a few, kind of tried to toy around around with him before the game, and DJ said he wasn't having any of it. He was going, you know, these guys are our enemy kind of thing. But that's who he is. You know, he's one of the vocal leaders of the defense, and he's that energy guy. Mason Foster called him crazy man, said he's insane, all this kind of stuff afterwards. But they feed off his juice, and he's been backing up those words this year. So you really can't tell him to shut up when he's backing it up. But yeah, no, DJ has not quieted down at all.
Yeah, he's that kid that's drinking too much Red Bull. He needs to calm down.
He stays hyped.
No doubt, no doubt.
Stays hyped.
Well, hey, just to wrap up here, I'm titling this episode of the Blueprint to Beat the Redskins. What's some of the things on that blueprint that the Falcons will need if they're going to come up there and get a W against the 5-2 Redskins?
Well, a couple things. You know, you got to get points on the board, and that's what people have struggled against this Redskins team. If you can run the ball, I know they're a little banged up with no Freeman, and so I haven't been able to. I'm in the middle of my Falcons study as we speak, but if they can figure out a way to run the ball, that's something that teams haven't been able to do. But especially if they're still hurt, as far as Quentin Dunbar, if you can take advantage of the pass game a little bit, that's where they're a little bit vulnerable, especially with some rookies in, especially with Greg Stroman playing. You know, he's in back-to-back. He gave up a big long one against New Orleans. He gave up a big long one last week. So you can hit him over the top. You know, he got beat on a double move where, you know, he got caught looking and guy just kind of ran past him. So there's opportunity there in the pass game. I think, what, they're ranked number 3 against the pass. So that's number one. Number two, stopping Adrian Peterson, because the Redskins have yet to show that they can win through the air. You know, Alex Smith has yet to put the offense on his back and win a game that way. You know, it's been so much run heavy. So if you can shut down the run game and dare them to beat you through the air, that's going to give you an advantage, because they've yet to show that against anybody so far. So those are the two things. And obviously, you know, with you got a guy like Julio, so he's going to he's going to challenge. Last week, Josh Norman didn't exactly follow. He didn't follow OBJ around the entire game, but a little bit towards the end, especially after Stroman had some early struggles. And so, but they usually typically like to leave him on one side, and that's when you have Dunbar, who's the other starter, and he's good enough to hold up pretty against anybody. So it kind of depends on if he's going to be able to play or not. But it's all about that pass game. If you can get the pass game going, and force the Redskins to try to beat you through the air, I think that's the opportunity where that's where they can be beat.
Yeah, well, thanks, Kareem. Hey, just a couple things. The Falcons' run offense is 30th in the league, just over 80 yards a game, so they haven't been able to run the ball. At some point, people are going to stop honoring those play-action fakes. So, yeah, they haven't run the ball very well. And just to help you on the prep here, too, Julio and Norman have history. Norman's got his money basically after playing very well against Julio when he was with Carolina. Although Julio insisted he always had safety help over the top, but you know, so they have some history there. So that's something to watch. Might want to ask Josh about that this week. Just let the people know here at the Bowtie Chronicles where they can find you and your work, your fine work at the Washington Post.
Quick and easy, Kareem Copeland for the Washington Post. You can find me on Twitter at Kareem Copeland, and then you can find all my stuff right there at WashingtonPost.com under the Redskins banner. Quick and easy.
All right, Kareem, thanks for stopping by the Bowtie Chronicles this week. We really appreciate it.
Oh, appreciate you having me, D-Led. I mean, it's official now.
There he is, Kareem Copeland, fine young reporter for the Washington Post covering the Redskins. I did talk to Vic Beasley. We're going to go a little long here. I know I missed y'all last week during the bye week. We just did one after the game, and I didn't come back to just kind of do a bye week one. So we're going to go a little long today because I talked to Vic Beasley. I'm going to do a Sunday story on him. I got some more people to talk to. But, you know, I did write over the break about how, you know, he's got one sack. And Pat Carwin from SiriusXM Radio said, you know, he's a people are setting for speed. He needs a counter move and so forth. So, you know, we asked Vic about it and, you know, we wanted to share that with you. And then I look forward to the Sunday story we have coming out on Vic. We're going to get Brian Young and Coach Quinn. We'll talk to some Redskins. And, you know, Vic had that big year. 2 years ago, and hasn't been able to follow it up so far. So, but here's Vic Beasley, Atlanta Falcons defensive end.
I think after 7 games, how do you think things are going for you so far?
You know, production ain't what I want, but I think I'm working hard. You know, practicing hard and playing hard. So, just gotta continue to make optimistic. You know, hoping things. My way in production, you know, but still, regardless of the team winning, you know, I'm excited, I'm happy, and, you know, it's a chance for us to continue to prepare ourselves to get in the playoffs.
Production-wise, do you think it's because people are setting for your speed, or what do you think is the issue that might keep our production down for?
I think they got good game plans, but I think a lot of times, you know, I missed a couple.
Got some misses.
Got a one. Kind of took away from the car incomplete as far as the sack, but no, you got to make optimistic. You know, they're playing well, but you know, I just got to continue to go hard and hope things open up.
And you know, some folks are saying, hey, you know, you need a counter move, or you need this move, or you spin move, or where are you at with moves and what you need to do, or how you look at that.
Yeah, I think you know, counter could work. You know, just the sequence of games. You know, the sequence of our defense and the plays that we have run. You know, kind of limiting me from doing certain things. But for the most part, you know, when I had the opportunities, I can definitely you know, try to use those.
The coach said, you know, he had you attacking there. A couple plays, I forget which game, but how does that work? You said you have to put pressure on guards, they got to play for super speed. How do y'all envision that working, and could y'all use that some more?
Yeah, we're real creative, man. You know, me and Tech, sometimes we go the same size, sometimes the majority of the time we opposite sides. But we have a number of different games where we can, you know, show different fronts up front. And we got other guys in the middle with Jack and Grady that's been playing very well. So it's going to be tough going down the road to, you know, try to limit us and not get into the back.
And getting Grady back last game, how big was that for the unit?
Oh, it's very big. You know, Grady's a great leader on our team, and definitely up front. And, you know, he gets that morale of the team, you know, up, and, you know, it's that energy that we need. He definitely brings that.
How much does his presence help you out there?
There he is, Vic Beasley, discussing his play this season. He doesn't like the production. He thinks it should be better. He's playing hard, working hard, and acknowledged that, hey, maybe he can use some counter moves there, you know, when he's rushing the passer, because he's got the speed. He's got him set up, speed. Then a counter underneath, and, you know, I talked to some, you know, some of the best pass rushing folks in the game. He learned to spin move. I don't know if he's comfortable with it. I saw Jack Crawford spin his way to a sack. Maybe Vic dust off the spin move he learned from Dwight Freeney here down the stretch. But anyway, we're going to wrap this thing up here at the 86th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing on iPad, Stitcher, and every various other platforms. Take care and enjoy the game this weekend, Sunday, 1 p.m., FedEx Field, the Falcons and the Redskins.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.